Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry. I am honored to be the host of this podcast, and I'm also honored to be joined today by a dear friend, as well as an SCN member, and that is Sean Pierce. Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. Thanks. How about yourself?
Hey, doing great. Always a better day whenever I get to a chance to hang out with you and chat a little bit. I know what a great guy you are, but I'd love for our audience to kind of know a little bit more about you as well.
Well, you know, I think some people might know that I am a recovering lawyer. I did practice law for 14 years. I actually have a master's degree in law. Decided that, you know, like there was a better way to be more positive in how I could influence the world of dentistry. Left the practice of law, went back, got my MBA. And here I am. I'm out here. I coach dentists on how to think like a CEO. I kind of consider myself a little bit of the dental CEO maker, if you will. And I operate, I guess, a group purchasing organization, as it's referred to in the States. People, if they don't know me, I'm from Canada. I'm up north, but it's still snowy here.
I was just getting ready to say, Sean is one of the best, not only humans, but best Canadians that I know. Absolutely. So, and Sean, you know, you mentioned becoming a CEO, and I think part of that becoming a CEO and really having the CEO mindset is leadership as well. And I know that's something you're very passionate about. Can dentists be leaders in the practice, even if that isn't really something that was hammered home to them during dental school?
Kevin, not only can they be, I think it's imperative that they must be. You know, they're the ones who have the ability to diagnose. It doesn't matter if they're the owner of the practice, an associate in the practice. They're the ones that can diagnose and recommend treatment. Automatically, that puts them in a leadership role. They need to be able to lead their patients towards better oral health, and they need to be able to lead a team towards supporting the goal of getting those patients to better oral health. So they got to be. They have no choice.
And that's a scary statement, I think, for a lot of dentists, is that you have no choice to be a leader, because I know so many dentists don't feel like they're leaders. And is that something that they kind of work with their team to hone those leadership skills, or what are some good options that you think to really become a better leader in the practice?
You know, I mean, Kevin, maybe you've heard it as much as I have, you know, where you're talking to dentists and you talk to them about the importance of leadership and they just kind of look at you and say, I just want to bury my head in dentistry. I'm not a leader.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's concerning because, like I said, I mean, if you truly value having the patient look after their oral health, you've got to be the leader. They're not experts in oral health. You are. And if they don't see you as being that confident leader on that front, why are they going to take your advice? And it's that understanding that, you know, I mean, leadership is something that can be learned, right? I mean, we've all, I think, kind of come to grips with the fact that leadership can be learned and there's no one leadership style. So the question is, if you're not comfortable with it now, what can we do to teach you those leadership skills, and how can we get you comfortable to not only be the leader yourself, but bring your team on board with you? Because leadership is, you got to have a team to lead, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you mentioned the patients looking to the dentist to be a leader. I think those team members are also looking to the dentist to be the leader and kind of set that course for where the business is going.
100%. And I mean, you know, the dentist, particularly if you're an owner dentist, you're the one that has to get the ball rolling. You have to be comfortable with that fact and you have to accept it. That's just the bottom line. And that does mean for a lot of times that it puts dentists into a bit of a out of their comfort zone, and that's okay. That's where we grow, as the saying, as the expression goes. You don't grow when you're just doing what you know how to do. You grow when you're pushing yourself to the limits. So it's important to be open to learning, And it's important to be open to the idea that maybe I do need to take some leadership courses. But I think sometimes we overcomplicate these things. And we forget that, you know, life has taught us a lot of great leadership lessons right from the time we were kids. You know, I mean, leadership is not something that we just are suddenly being introduced to now that, you know, you're a dentist. It's like, oh my gosh, I've never been a leader before. Leadership is, it's so subtle at times, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And life can teach us so much about how to be an effective leader.
You know, and I want to go back to something you just said a moment ago about taking those courses and spending the time to be a leader, because I don't know about you, but several dentists that I've talked to, they're like, you know, if I'm going to spend time on something, it's going to be on perfecting my clinical skills. You know, they look at that as the priority. And yet I think that there's got to be a balance between becoming an excellent clinician as well as being an excellent CEO/leader of the practice as well.
I completely agree. And I mean, how many times have we spoken to dentists, or maybe we've seen it on some sort of social media thread where the focus is always on the clinical. I just came back from the Pacific Dental Conference in Vancouver, up here in Canada, and all the clinical stuff, that was like standing room only. And I mean, I don't want to dissuade people. I mean, I applaud people for wanting to improve their clinical skills. But like you said, you need that balance. If you are not the effective leader and understand that part of leadership is communication, then you can have the greatest clinical skills in the world. Who are you going to work on to demonstrate those skills if patients aren't going to say yes to you? If your team's not going to support you in saying yes to the treatment you want to provide. So that's something you've got to make sure, as you said, you've got that balance on as well.
And I really view the practices that don't have the strong leadership as, and I don't want to say anarchy, chaos, but it does have that feel to it a little bit, that it kind of, it's just everybody doing their own thing. There's no repercussions. And I know dentists don't often want to be, and I'm using the air quotes here, the bad guy or gal. But at the same time, I think that there with leadership comes a strength as well, where you make sure that systems are being followed, that protocols are being done properly, infection control guidelines are being done properly. All the little things that go into really having a successful dental practice actually happen.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I think one of the things that people need to do is recognize that the leader doesn't have to be the bad person. You can lead with incredible positivity. And I think we're learning new ways to lead. I think, you know, you and me, we're a little bit older. We got some gray hair.
Absolutely.
you know, we kind of come from that generation of I would argue maybe a little bit more of a one-dimensional approach to what leadership was all about. You know, you had to be rah-rah. You had to be the get up in front and tell everyone the way it is, and you're going to do it this way, or that's just, you're just not going to be here. And I think we're starting to learn there's a lot of layers to leadership. And it's not really that person that tries to be the hero that is necessarily the best leader. Sometimes it's that person who's willing to be a little bit more, shall we say, self-sacrificial.
Okay.
And I like to compare it. You're a sports guy. You're a baseball guy. I like to kind of compare it to the sports world. I mean, who doesn't want to be the hero who, you know, in the bottom of the ninth, you're down by 3 runs, you get to hit that walk-off grand slam that wins the game. We all would love to be that person.
Absolutely.
But maybe the best hero is the one who's up to bat when they represent the tying run. And they're fighting off foul ball after foul ball to just sort of stay alive, tough pitch after tough pitch. And they work things to a full count. And then in comes that pitch that they know right off the bat. It's outside the strike zone. And they could choose to just foul that off and see if they can get the next pitch, which might be the one that allows them to at least hit the tying home run and at least force extra innings. Or they could be the one to say, you know what? We need another base runner. I'm going to take this pitch and I'm going to let somebody else be the hero.
There you go.
And sometimes that's a big part of leadership, is to be able to recognize when other people are the heroes and you're prepared to put yourself in that secondary role and acknowledge the greatness that others help you to achieve.
I love that. And absolutely, you know, if I could be Joe Carter anytime walking off the World Series, I'll do that in a heartbeat. But I think you've hit upon a key point, is that so often it does take being a team to do that. And I'm going to use a baseball analogy with you here, just to fire one back at you, is that, you know, whenever you talk to a manager, he never talks about his staff. You know, he always talks about his team. And I think that that's a key component to leadership as well, is how you view those people who work with you every day. You know, are they part of your team, or are they part of your staff? And I think that that's a pretty interesting definition and direction. And I'm curious, is that something I look at, or is that something you think is important as far as just using terminology in the practice to kind of build that leadership?
Well, you know, I mean, staff implies a hierarchy. Staff implies that I'm, you know, someone has to be above somebody else, and I'm the top dog. I'm, you know, I'm king, I'm head cheese, whatever you want to call me. And anybody else, you know, you're kind of below me. And, you know, mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, that's kind of implicit if you're the practice owner. That's already there. Do you really need to hit people over the head with it? Or are you prepared to say, we have a vision to work towards together. Let's create mm-hmm. that vision. Let's be all in on fulfilling that vision. And let's understand that as a team, we all have a role in creating it. And I mean, I love that kind of a sports analogy. I'm a sports guy, but yeah, maybe some people aren't. Maybe some people are more theater or dance. Well, you know, there's principal dancers, stars of the show. Everybody has that role. I mean, I can remember, I also did theater in high school, and there's that expression in the theater world that there's no small parts, there's only small actors.
Yep.
Everyone Absolutely. Makes the project go together. If your focus is on making sure that patients get the best in terms of care, how do you as a team achieve that? And how do you as a leader recognize and give credit, give glory to the contributions that your team members make? And these are those aspects, you know, when dentists kind of think, oh, I can't be a leader. I don't know how to be. And like I said, I mean, by all means, please take leadership training courses. So this is not, mm-hmm. I'm not meaning to suggest that in this short time together, we can, you know, you can save your money. You've learned all you need to know about leadership. But understand, your life has probably taught you lessons that you are capable of being a leader. Just hone those skills.
Completely agree. And I think looking back on the pandemic, that there were a lot of lessons that were learned during that by our dental industry, as well as I think there were some dentists who didn't think they were leaders during that time who suddenly had to become leaders very quickly because of everything, the way that everything was moving. And so I'll ask you a question. Is leadership more important now than it was maybe 5 years ago when we didn't know what COVID was?
I mean, that's a great question. And on one level, I would argue it's not more important. But on the other level, I would argue we just know how important it is. We may not have realized it before. It was probably just as important. It was just kind of hidden from us. Now, COVID really allowed us to refocus on things. And I think it's made people realize that, you know, this really does matter. I need to be that leader. And that leader doesn't mean like we said at the start, I'm not here to be the bad guy. In fact, I'm here to celebrate everyone. And that's, I think, a key component to make sure if you can celebrate, if you can take that secondary role, if you can recognize that COVID made it that much more important. I mean, you know, COVID brought on the Great Resignation.
Yeah.
How do we, aside from just keep writing bigger checks, how do we make sure that the Great Resignation doesn't impact us as much as others? By acknowledging and celebrating our team and making them feel like they are providing incredible value.
Oh man, I love that. I absolutely do. You know, and I know you and I are going to talk on a different podcast here in a little bit about dental assistants and the role they play. And I'm excited to talk about that with you, because I know the value you place on team just as much as I do. So this is a conversation I think we could have for hours, but I know our time is limited here today. So let's make sure that our audience knows how to get a hold of you, how to learn more from you, if something you've said today has kind of sparked their interest a little bit.
Absolutely. You're right. We could talk for hours, but like you said, time is limited. So, I mean, I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone might have. They can send me an email at email at Sean Peers, SHAWNPEERS at Rogers.com. They can find me at www.dentalpeers.ca. I'm out there under my name on Facebook and on LinkedIn. I've got the Dental CEO Maker is a LinkedIn group I have. They can find me there. So, or they can just call me 613-867-8502, whatever works best for them.
A lot of different ways, Sean, and I appreciate that, my friend. Thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you who've listened to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast. Speaking Consulting Network works with its members to make sure that they are highlighted as leaders in the industry on various topics. So to learn more about SCN, please visit www.speakingconsultingnetwork.com. And until next time, this is Kevin Henry signing off for the Dentistry Speaks podcast.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.